Meditation is relaxation. So take notice how your body sits, if you are comfortable. If you can relax more, allowing everything to be soft. Total relaxation is enlightenment itself, because in that relaxation you disappear. That is melting, disappearing, allowing, let go. This cannot happen if there is tensions, like you have. In your belly, in your heart, in your solar plexus, if the mind is going, everything has to be relaxed. And in that relaxation, a total awareness. So it's a meeting of the opposites. Totally relaxed, but at the same time alert, with no tensions. So your whole energy, your whole life energy can be present in this very moment. Becoming conscious of yourself. Returning to the source. But we are so used to tensions, restlessness, hurrying, unconsciousness, that you have to retrain yourself. That is what I'm going on and on reminding you. What I call stopping. In one way or the other, I'm trying to stop you so you can just feel, becoming more conscious, taking more responsibility over yourself. Going deeper than your worry, going deeper than your tensions, going deeper than your restlessness. And that's why Buddha said, in the beginning, you have to be conscious of how your body moves. Start with the body. Bring that consciousness into your physical body. So it becomes more graceful, more alert. Walking slower, eating slower, into every action, bring more awareness. Then you see everything change because you are present instead of being on automatic. Like a machine. You are in your movements, in your eating, in your talking. You are present there. Then deeper than that, become aware of your mind. Let it slow down. Allowing all the energy to sink into your heart, into your belly, becoming soft, empty, present. This is what I call coming home. Coming back to your center. Now from here, when you are in touch with yourself, you will know, you will see yourself. And bringing that consciousness into your life, bringing that peace into your life. Many has written that now they see what an habit they have to be in tension, how difficult it is to let go. Again and again, I'm trying to bring you back so you can see, take notice. Only then you can be become responsible. First, you have to feel, you have to sense, you have to become very alive. So now you're doing this process, feeling that, reflecting on dying. Which for the mind is fear, you want to escape. But out of understanding, as you see, is just helping life. It's part of life. It brings you more consciousness, more love, more understanding how fragile life is, what is important, what is a waste of time. This is what I want to show you in all possible ways. Know when you are here also in this retreat, bring it with you when you go to bed in the evening, in the night, allowing your body to consciously relax, feeling that the day is going, emptying out of the past. Then you will have a better sleep, feel more fresh in the morning, because you start consciously emptying yourself. So you don't carry things from yesterday or from the past. That's why that is beautiful, because it reminds us of what is essential this moment, to be aware this moment. Everything unreal falls away. That's how whole life should be. Focus on what is real instead of getting lost in the unreal, in the dreams. Then you become very alert. Alertness and relaxation meet. of course there is many levels of letting go. So wherever you are, you can go deeper. Just to let go a little bit, for some people is very difficult. What to say about letting go of yourself? We did the exercise today in the group, and Mukunda was as lovingly as he could, reminding you, relaxa. Relaxa, a little deeper. If it's holding any tension, let that go. Just let that go. Relax, deep. Be very soft. Let that go. And then that's the beginning. If that is where you are, fine. Just go deeper. Please, I'm always here to remind you, go deeper. It's a good beginning. Because maybe you're holding your whole life, you've been holding. And it has to come to this moment to start. And just that let that go. Felt so good. Such a release. Such an opening. But don't think that is the end. But it's so good to let that go. May everybody let go. But please, be compassionate with your neighbor. We can only understand what our consciousness is capable of understanding. It wasn't bhakti, was it? Show them, Bhakti, show them. Show them what this is all about. You're working for me. How are you? Ah, yeah. Just open the windows. Thank you. Buddha said, it is not iron that this imprisons you, not rope nor wood, but the pleasure you take in gold and jewels, in sons and wives. Soft feathers, yet they hold you down. Can you snap them? There are those who can, who surrenders the world, forsake desire, and follow the way. Listen, O slave of desire. Float up on the stream. Little spider, stick to your web, or else abandon your sorrow for the way. Abandon yesterday and tomorrow and today. Cross over to the further shore, beyond life and death. Do your thoughts trouble you? Does passion disturb you? Be aware of this ongoing desire, this craving for more and more. If not, your wishes becomes desires, and the desires will bind you. Can you snap free? Can you break free? He asked. It is not iron that imprisons you, not rope nor wood, but the pleasure you take in gold and jewels, in sons and wives. The prisons is very invincible. You cannot see them, and that's why you all the time get fooled that you are free. Because you cannot see them. That's what the masters have been saying. You live in a prison. Break free. Wake up. But you cannot see you live in a prison because everything is normal. You are not inside a physical prison. You are a prisoner of your own ideas, your conditioning, your thoughts, your habits. That's what Buddha means. It's not iron that imprisons you, not rope or wood, but the pleasure you take in gold and jewels, in sons and wives. All this dream of becoming rich, of gold and jewelry. And it's not the gold or the jewelry or the sons and wives and husbands. It's not them in itself that keeps you down, that imprison you. Is the pleasure, is the identification, is the craving, is the unconsciousness. You can have gold or silver, husband and wife, all these things if you are conscious, if you are non-attached. Then you won't suffer. Otherwise it becomes a burden. No rich person feels safe. But only those who became famous, who became rich, only those who have children, husband, wives, they know the drag of it. Otherwise, it's a dream that is carried on life after life, that is going to fulfill you. Buddha is not anti-life. He's just telling the truth. He doesn't say there's anything wrong with it. It is the craving, it is the pleasure, it is the desires that he wants to remind us about. That's what makes you a slave. If you know that it's all a lila, you are untouched, then you can really enjoy. Otherwise, whatever is given, whatever you get, is not enough. That's why people all the time, they go on changing boyfriend, girlfriend, they get one prey, then not, then they got that, then the next one, the next girl, the next wife. It's an ongoing process. They can never stop. It's always something else. More money. No, I just heard that there's 8 people on this planet that has as much money as half of the world's population. 8 people. What are these 8 people going to do with that money? Protect it. What does that do to you? And these 8 people, if they had distributed the money, being a little human, it doesn't need to be any poor people in the world. It doesn't need to be any suffering on this planet. If you start functioning from the heart, from your wisdom, everything is provided on this planet. But it's the greed, it is the desire that makes it hard. Me, 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 me. If the rulers have thought about others, everything could be perfect. No wars, no famine, no hunger. It's unthinkable because this is all problems we have on the planet. And they spell billions and billions and billions to make more weapons of mass destruction. They spell billions and billions and billions to go to other planets. And people don't even have clean water on this planet. They are making a mess here and they want to go already to other planets. It doesn't make sense. You see how crazy it is. So this is the same, the pleasure you take in gold and jewels and power, the attachments, the desires in your sons and wives. You become very narrow-minded. You don't have a big vision. It becomes me. It's very difficult to understand if you don't start waking up. Nobody can understand what the Buddhas are talking about. You have to have certain kind of understanding, consciousness, because it goes against everything that you have learned. Normally, it's your sons, your wives, your husbands that is the most important, your family, your country, your religion. But there's something totally different on a much deeper level in every human being where you can see through. And seeing that, you become much more compassionate, much more loving, because you know the fragility of life. You know that you are alone. And you become more grateful to be together. One great enlightened being called Nisargadatta Maharaj, he said, "More than my own children, I love the people who come here thirsty for truth. And that's exactly how it is. But that's a totally different level. That is the truth. Even if it hurts his wife and his children, this is his truth. This is the truth. Because what is more important, to wake up? Maybe your children is totally unconscious. The master is there to wake you up and to share. He's interested to share. He has so much he wants to share. He's not interested to throw pearls for swine, like Jesus said. He wants to find those who can see the value. Soft feathers, yet they hold you down. Can you snap them? Buddha said, it's very soft feathers that hold you down. It's hardly anything. It's just thin thread. Just a little awareness, and you can break free. Just a little courage. But it's much easier to go in the same. See how difficult it is to wake up, to be true to yourself, to become responsible, to not be a slave over your own mind. Soft feathers, yet they hold you down. Can you snap them? And how can you snap them? By becoming more aware, by getting some courage, by having some insight. Remember, it doesn't mean that you go against anything. It just means that you see things as they are. And everything that you see more out of reality becomes more beautiful. Only the mind is afraid to change. So you don't want to see the truth. That's why you're in a dilemma. You want it, but you don't want to change. And truth demands change. There are those who can, who surrenders the world, forsake desires, and follow the way. There are those who can, and those are the one that the Buddhas are talking to, those who are longing to come free. That is not so identified with the ego or has suffered enough with this identification with the mind, with the ego. They want to be free. There are those who can, who surrenders the world. Who is ready to leave the world? Again, the Buddhists, they are totally misunderstood. It is not to leave physically the world. You can be attached in the forest, in the mountains, wherever. It is to see the reality as it is. And how can you surrender the world? By finding something that is more worth, that you can only find in yourself. When you find something that is more precious than anything the world has to offer, then you gladly surrender, you give up the world. That doesn't mean that you need to be poor. You can be a king, you can be a beggar, it doesn't matter. But all this is misunderstood by people. That's why they're still poor monks in the East. Because they only know about the physical. That doesn't help. It can help, because it will learn you another thing, but it's in the very beginning. You go from one opposite to the other, which is great, good life experience. I wouldn't miss it for anything. to be poor, to sleep in the street. A great experience. You can enjoy even more a soft mattress, I tell you. Pah. But that has nothing to do with your spirituality. O slave of desire, float upon the stream. Little spider, stick to your web. Slave of desire. You are a slave then, because there's always something you want, something you have to do, something you get involved with. Then you make responsibilities in your own life that is totally unnecessary to do for you, but you think is very necessary. That's how you bind yourself. Again and again, I have reminded you of higher responsibilities that you can only understand when you become higher. Slave of desire. If somebody who is a slave of desire, then only that, it's always something to get, is always something missing, is always something you are craving for. That means you are never in the moment, and life is in this moment. You are missing out. This is the whole thing the enlightened masters is trying to stop you. That's what I mean by stopping. Stop and see. It's not something there, it is here. Little spider, stick to your web. He calls you little spider. The people who are unconscious, stick to your web. What does the spider do? He's always busy spinning his web or repairing it. It's non-stop action because he has to catch something. What does the spider dream about? If somebody comes in his web, he can get something more. No? So the whole life is to taking care of this web where he gets more and more and more, bigger and bigger and bigger. Remember, it has nothing to do with the poor spider. Spider is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. God bless the spider. But the human being, when he behaves like a spider, or a rat, or a dog, no good. No good. It's not what you're supposed to do. So, slave of desire, little spider, stick to your web. Just creating your own reality. You can be busy. This is how humans are. They can be busy their whole life with the little web, and they think they're doing something very important. Or else, abandon your sorrows for the way. Abandon your sorrows for the way. Just stick to your little spider web, he says, you slave of desire, or drop all that and focus on the way. Abandon all your desires. Get out of your head. Put your heart into the path. Into the way. And the magic is, as soon as somebody have taken their step, everything changes. Because then you start having a real meaning in life. Something higher in you starts functioning, getting reignited. Something gets remembered. Something, higher values of your heart or your soul, not of the mind, of the ego, of the desires, of grasping, of wanting, of conflict, of fighting. But Buddha says, if you want that, abandon your sorrows for the way. And everybody wants to be happy. And that's how easy it is, abandon your sorrow, drop your sorrows. But I told you yesterday also, people cling to their sorrows. They say they want to be free, but you are clinging to your sorrow. You are clinging to your confusion, and still you are saying you want to be free. It's so easy. Drop your sorrow and come. It should be very easy. Why is it so difficult? Because you are so identified with the sorrow, with your problems. That's why you have to have courage to break free. You have to stand up for your own insight, for your own realization, for your own understanding. Don't behave like a slave if you start seeing reality as it is. Don't get fooled into situations that you don't want. Don't do stupid things if you have a little clarity. It will hurt even more. But Buddha says you cannot come on the way if you don't abandon this, your sorrow, your clinging, your desires. It's impossible. Then you are standing in one foot on the boat and one foot on land. Where will you go? You have to decide. Otherwise, you won't go anywhere. Or at the most, you will fall in the water in the middle. Abandon yesterday and tomorrow. And the first thing the masters always said, forget the past, no? Forget the past. So you can put your total energy into the moment. When you come to a master, drop whatever you have learned. You have to be clean. So you can be available what he wants to share. Drink me, eat me, Jesus said. It's like this. And the more hungry you are, the more you will be nourished. Don't come totally stuffed. How can you taste anything then? You have to empty out. Abandon yesterday and tomorrow. Second is tomorrow. That is the dreams about the future. Number one is the past, because that is already finished. Little better is tomorrow, because then is some hope. It hasn't happened yet. So you can dream about dreams, golden dreams about the future. But on Buddha's part, that has to be gone also, because life is now. It's here. Abandon yesterday and tomorrow and today. Even today. Just be totally present in the moment. That's what he's hinting at. Cross over to the further shore, beyond life and death. So, if yesterday, if the past has gone, if the future has gone, your total energy is here, which is where you have to be to find yourself, to go deeper. Then you can experience the eternal in you, which is always present. But to find that timeless, that eternal, that Santa, you have to be totally present here. You cannot be in the past or in the future. Your whole totality has to be crystallized here, now. Then you get an insight into your own reality, which is the part of the eternal. It's a spark of God's light. Seeing that, takes away all sorrow, because then you know you are part of existence, of God. You are eternal. Cross over to the further shore, beyond life and death. And that is beyond life and death. Because life and death is just episodes in eternity. Do your thoughts trouble you? Do your thoughts trouble you? Ask Buddha. Because if they do, you have homework to do. You are still a slave. Don't be so identified with your thoughts, with your mind, with your opinions. First, we went very high. No, already I took you beyond life and death. No, Buddha, remember, oh, I'm talking to people who doesn't really integrate. Then he comes back. Do your thoughts trouble you? Hello, are you still mind-fucking? Yes, you are. Okay, then Buddha will go on talking then. Already there beyond life and death, I was finished then. But that is how it is. The Buddha takes you beyond, but then he remember, he has to talk, he has to come back again and again to remind you. Because otherwise you can trick yourself. No, it's not finished. It's not finished before you're finished. Do your thoughts trouble you? Such an innocent question. Hello, madam, do your thoughts trouble you? Yes, sometimes you will say, if you are truthful, otherwise you say like in California, no, everything is fine. Me? No, no, no. I already did the course. I became enlightened. I have a stamp here. Weekend, long weekend course. Yeah, so yeah, my thoughts trouble me, you would say. Okay, then go deeper, he will say then. Does passion disturb you? Yes, you will say. Okay, then go deeper. That means you're still a slave over your body, over your mind, over your emotions. That was the last words that Buddha said. Go on, go on. Don't stop. Remember, you don't need to stop. When it stops, it stops. This is my own experience. I tried and I tried and I couldn't do anything then. When it stops, it stops. Then the mind is so used to doing something that it even takes time to accept. That doing something for what? There's really nothing to do. I'm there where I wanted to be, and that is difficult to accept. What to do now? Nothing. Okay, let's have a cup of tea then, like that. Do your thoughts trouble you? Does passion disturb you? Beware of this desires, this craving for more and more. Be aware, be very aware, he says, of your own mind. How involved you get. How your own mind is tricking you into situations that is so harmful for your growth, for your consciousness. It pulls you down again and again, makes you a slave. You even for the disciple, even for the sannyasins. You just started seeing something, you feel so happy, and again, you do something to yourself. You create your own reality in the shadows of your mind, in the darkness of your mind, of your desires. of your mind. Be aware. And I tell you, nothing has changed in 2,500 years. And nothing will ever change. Be aware. Because only you can change it by becoming conscious of what you are doing. Beware of these desires, of this craving. If not, if you don't get aware, your wishes become desires. First, your wishes. I want that. I desire that. Then it becomes a reality. If you are not aware, then that thoughts will take you somewhere, because you are not aware. It can be a really stupid thought, but you have no awareness, so that thoughts will take you somewhere. And you are just like a puppy. Smell something good. And then, no, you are not supposed to go there. It might look good, but it's poison. Your own, you don't trust your own intelligence, your own heart, your own intuition. The mind is still so strong, it will take you. You do something against your own understanding. So as soon as you have stood up for that, again and again and again, then a certain integration starts happening. You are reclaiming your own power, your own strength, your own truth. And if it goes on, then you become unshakable. Nothing can shake you, because you know. You are much stronger than your mind. Before, you were just a slave. That's what we call a master. That's what I mean by being a master. It's not that I'm anybody's master. You are just a master over yourself. Who can remind slaves that they can become masters? That's what the master is. Everybody is a master, but they have forgotten. So that's what Buddha is telling. Slave, is not iron that impress you. Is all, your whole life. They are invisible. And if you are not becoming conscious, you don't see it. Because they are not physical prisons. It's all self-created. And you go on, the more unconscious you are, the more you go on creating this again and again. And even on the spiritual path, many times you can have insight. You start getting deeper. You start getting more real. And again, you do it. You fall down. Remember, it's much easier to fall down than to go higher. Or you feel, no, I'm so spiritual, no, nothing. I can do anything. Kaboom. Then you will feel even more dumb. How dumb are the people? Do your thoughts still trouble you? Does passion still disturb you? Beware, beware. If not, your wishes become desires. And this desire binds you. They bind you. You cannot move in freedom. You become bound. You become a prisoner. And who did it? You did it. Break free. Break free. That's what the master wants you to do. Wake up. Let go now. That is the freedom of not wanting anything, no? Then you become a master, then you become an emperor. You don't want, nothing can tempt you because you already have everything. Not wanting anything is freedom. You already have, you are totally content. You become untouched by anything. That is the symbol in the East of enlightenment, the lotus that comes from the mud. We come from the mud, but we rise through life, and then the lotus sits on top of the water. It comes from the mud, but it's not touching it. It's floating on the water. Be in the world, but don't be off it. Be untouched, like a lotus. And the lotus just brings more beauty into the world, more fragrance into the world, more poetry, more music, more love. Be courageous. Wake up. Break free. It's not for the weak. This is for the ones strong in spirit, in heart. Today again I came from the sunlit tops, blue sky, beautiful, it was like springtime. And my God, are they still here in the in the darkness? Let's go there where there is no darkness and no light, no? No hot and no cold. But even in this valley, it seems like it's two different countries. It seems like just 100 meters up, then it's sunny. It's all the cold from the river, and then the heat from the sun is like that now. Then it's just over here. It's strange. That's how it is. I hope you see the sun tomorrow. Otherwise, you have to climb up the mountain. You can see it. Just 50, 100 meters up, straight up. Then you can, then you say, oh my God. Just remember, however foggy things is blue sky above. Just a little bit on this blue sky, the open, wow.
就是秋，三月了就是秋，秋了就是秋，今年了就是秋。 Lama dan sange la gyozo zon zonje ne Jigdien bel hanje tuwo che la gyozo mizhe wa Che la gyozo zon zonje ne Simje la mizhe pongwara che Gindyo la gyozo zon zonje ne Digbe trobo Cho mizhe wa je zon zon Dina kyanje la jayi Lama gives a chill. Sangil gives a chill. Chill gives a chill. Gindula gives a chill.
Lama gives a chill. Sangil gives a chill. Chill gives a chill. Gindula gives a chill. Chill on your soul and chill.
yonda dawa me war sangai gi nyulam de do ju zungi ya chebar zik de zom de jun gi mo zar dawa ti mi de la ba te dai gun gi dawa yam do de kyam ro me ba so dar chang zin me da sangai do ma khang ya ge me ba gon de kyam ro de be Lama la kyozu chuo, sangye la kyozu chuo, chuo la kyozu chuo, gindu la kyozu chuo.
Lama la kyozu chuo, sangye la kyozu chuo, chuo la kyozu chuo. Yo,